weapons were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power Science World for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Good morning, you're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We've got to introduce you to a little bit of some old school junkyard band. Sardines and Pork and Beans this morning. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus deep in the woods. And if you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path, welcome. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8. What I like to do here on the show, we like to talk a little bit about some local news, some news from the Lower Mainland, some Canadian news. Then we open it up to just what's going on in North America. Sometimes we have some funny stories. Sometimes we have some serious stories. We often have a little bit of both. We try to keep it light and informative. So while you're getting ready for your day, brushing your teeth, getting your kids ready for school, maybe you're driving to work early, or you're listening from the East Coast and you're at work at the job you presumably don't like, because if you liked your job, you probably wouldn't be listening to the radio during. I feel like that's a safe assumption. And I feel like it's a safe assumption to just know that most of the people, most everybody doesn't like the job. That's why it's a job. you know, we like to go, we like to start off with the weather. But first, you know, sometimes we have some comedians on here. Sometimes we have some directors, some artists. Sometimes just some really, really smart people. Some of my friends who also happen to be smart people. And occasionally we have some callers. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. And you know we like to start off with the weather. Well, it's the beginning of January, and we have really moved into what peak winter here is in Vancouver. And peak winter isn't necessarily cold, but it is very, very wet. And so today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, rain. We talked about this last Thursday. It was going to rain for the next 14 days. It did not. Thankfully, the weather is one of those things that's super hard to predict, and the weather people always get it wrong. And I'm not sure who has a better average, the weather people or the average Major League Baseball player, because you can fail more times than not and still be considered in the Hall of Fame. So if you're looking to do anything this weekend, I would suggest that maybe Sunday would be your day to go outside. It should be 8, and with only a 10% chance of precipitation on Sunday, with today, Friday, Saturday being in the 80% range. Next week looks to be raining all week, so just be prepared for that. I would like to be more prepared for the rain. If I didn't get in a accident, my damn car to go, I would also have the funds necessary to make that happen. And maybe I would think about riding my bike to work. However, the rain just highly discourages that, especially if you're not too prepared. So, you know, here we like to jump right into local news. And I think that this is a landmark week for Vancouver news, because as you all know, if you listen to the show weekly, there's only really a few things that we get to talk about here in Vancouver, and that's housing, homelessness, and drugs, which really encompasses the homelessness and the issues that pertain there. But we are lucky that we have an issue that, I guess it's not lucky, but not an issue either. It's just a news story. Gregor Robertson, the current mayor of our fine city here in Vancouver, will not seek re-election after his last term, which is the one he's currently in. So he basically has 1 year left, about 9-10 months to finish out his term here in Vancouver. And so I don't really know what the legacy of Gregor will be. I think he's got a great name, and I think that he's done a lot of things here for the city, but as not a native to Vancouver, it's really hard to understand, you know, the dynamics between these local politics without understanding the context of, well, what came before and what we have been missing from the, I guess, local political arena here. All that I know is Gregor Robertson has been the mayor during the historic rise of property values here in Vancouver. And I'm not really sure if there's anything that he could have done particularly to stop that or to make the city more affordable for the residents. But that will be part of his legacy that he has priced out and really was the face of Vancouver while residents here, you know, basically haven't been able to afford to live here. However, in the next 10-11 months, he talks about what he wants to do and how he wants to finish strong and really continue to focus on making Vancouver the most sustainable city, which was his goal when he took office 9 years ago. The goal was to make Vancouver the most sustainable city by 2022. and continue to work on affordable housing and public transit that will extend the SkyTrain all the way down Broadway to UBC to make it easier for people to go to and from. And while I don't believe that he'd be able to accomplish these things in the next 10 months, I guess that he's the mayor still, so he still has to talk about the things that he would like to accomplish. But I feel that as a mayor, saying that you're not going to run for re-election a year before your term is up is almost like handing in your 2 weeks at work. Now, I've never been a mayor before, and I've never had my term. I've never had a job with a term, but I have handed in my 2 week notice. And it might surprise you, but when you hand in a 2 week notice and they don't immediately tell you stop coming to work because, you know, it's 2 weeks, you're just mailing it in every day, So that's what I expect here from Gregor, because why would he be any different than any normal person? Like, obviously, I know that there are people who hand in a 2 week notice and they continue to work hard all until their last hour. But I think those people are outliers and few and far between. And Gregor, if you're listening and you think that, you know, by me telling the people that I think that you're going to mail it in for the last year, and you want to tell me that, hey, Issa, you're wrong. You can call in. The number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487, just in case. Or if you know Gregor, or if you were offended, please let us know. Moving on. So Uber is in. Uber is basically everywhere except for here in Vancouver. And not just Uber, but other ride-sharing companies such as Lyft or something else. If Uber and Lyft were here, I would not have gotten an accident. That's pretty much a fact, because I'm choosing getting driven over driving myself 10 times out of 10 when it's intra-city. However, Uber still is not here in Vancouver, and while the NDP said that they would have brought Uber here by January 2018, they have failed to fulfill those promises. Not shocked that a political party had promised on something such as bringing a ride-sharing company to the city, and they have not done it. However, there are several illegal ride-sharing companies that are operating here in Vancouver, mostly out of Richmond. And so I have friends that live in Richmond, and this is something that I had been hearing for a while, that there are a few ride-sharing companies that exist, but they only pick up Chinese residents. And while I'm hating, because obviously I would like access to these ride-sharing companies, I think it's interesting that basically the people of Richmond said, F it. This is what we want, and we know how to bring it. And the only way, and they've been fined several times, so every time that they an illegal ride is made, there's a potential $1,500 fine per ride. And they've already been fined a few times. But that hasn't stopped them from growing and growing within Richmond and in other parts of the city. But they do have a good strategy to help quell the fines and really keep themselves on a low profile, and that is to simply keep Westerners out. Now, admittedly, when I hear them say keep Westerners out, I hope that I can use the service, and when they look at me, they automatically don't assume I'm a narc, because when I think that their idea of keeping Westerners out isn't so much racially based. Like, we want to keep white people from using our ride-sharing system. However, I think it's more to do with they just don't want to get fined, and they know that those people look like the police. So continue to push the boundaries in Richmond, because I think that's ultimately that's the only thing that's going to get Uber and Lyft and other ride sharing companies here, is the fact that there's already businesses started, there's already businesses starting, and there's already businesses happening. And if they can't stop it, they're going to have to make legislation that allows for it to be safer and allows for it to just allows for the competition to open up, because the taxi services here are no good. For and when I say the taxi services here are no good, I think often we hear we hear lots of horror stories about the taxi cab drivers, and I've had a few myself. I've had an incident where I felt my life was in danger because of a taxi cab driver, and me as a 28-year-old man doesn't normally feel that way. So I can only imagine, you know, for the women who take taxi cabs by themselves, the lack of accountability that the cabs here have is worrisome. Not only is it worrisome in the fact that once the woman gets in the car by herself and doesn't know who she's riding with, it also starts before that with the idea that people, sometimes the taxi cab drivers will never show up. So, you know, whether maybe it's an emergency or you have someplace to go or someplace important to be, taxi cab drivers sometimes just don't show up, or sometimes they get, they'll pick up someone else instead. And so it'll be interesting to see how this Richmond company continues to push and how long that they can keep Westerners out, because we know that those people are relentless. We talked last week about Michelle Obama coming to Vancouver on February 15th to give a speech, and pre-sale tickets were being sold through the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trust starting yesterday. However, every single one of those seats has been sold in one day, so the tickets were supposed to open to the public on January 18th, and they will now not, because they didn't anticipate that Michelle Obama would be so popular. I mean, I could have told them that Michelle Obama would have been popular. Everybody wants to see Michelle Obama, particularly more than they wanted to see Hillary Clinton here when she was selling her book. And it's interesting because Michelle Obama doesn't even have a topic yet for the talk that she's going to give. She's just going to get up and start spitting that reel, because, you know, that's what Michelle Obama does. When we get back, we got another animal for you who's wreaking some havoc on his captors. And, you know, there's nothing more I like than seeing animals fight back. So when we get back, you know what to expect. Tune in.
Lips meet teeth and tongue. My heart skips eight beats at once. If we were meant to be, we would have been by now. See what you wanna see. All I see is him right now. Him right now. I'll sit and watch your car burn with the fire that you started in me. But you never came back to ask it out. Go ahead and watch my heart burn with the fire that you started in me. But I'll never let you back to put it out. Your love feels so fake. My
slept by now. Your lies will never keep. I think you need to blow them out. Blow them out. I'll sit and watch your car burn with the fire that you started in me. But you never came back to ask it out. Go ahead and watch my heart burn with the fire that you started in me. But I'll never let you back to put it out.
I still remember that. Heaven sent the present my way. I won't forget your laugh. Packing everything when you leave. You know you coming back. Wanna see me down on my knees, but that was made for a ring. I try to wait for the storm to calm down, but that stubborn bit be leading the war. We drawn down on each other, trying to even the score. We all been found guilty in the court of aorta.
Now watch your car burn with the fire that you started in me. But you never came back to ask it out. Go ahead and watch my heart burn with the fire that you started to see.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Aaron. And if you'd like to call in, number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. We have a full show for you today, so no need to even jump into some commercials just yet, because we got to get right into the business. So, listen, I wanted to talk a little bit about my favorite thing before we start to get into the real serious topics, because I have two particularly unpopular opinions about some of the things that have gone on in the world this week, but we'll get to those later. If you didn't know, if you've never listened to the show, if this is your first time in a long time, you know that I like talking about animals. Just the idea to me that animals continue to fight back against humans and are not just slowly going by the wayside and allowing their own destruction just gives me hope for the little bit of animal in me that I and people like me got a lot of fight left. Because if the animals are fighting back with their odds so dire, what's your excuse for not fighting back? So, on Twitter, came across a story which led me to do some investigative research on this octopus named Otto, who has basically said, I've had enough of this shit. And while I'm going to allow you to continue my jail sentence in captivity, I'm going to do what I please. So Otto is an octopus. And he basically likes to do what he wants. And I say he because I can assume that they wouldn't have named a female octopus Otto. While the story is a little dated, there is an aquarium in Germany which houses Otto, and so what Otto has been seen doing in his tank is he's been seen juggling some of the occupants in the tank, like some crustaceans and some fish. He also squirts water out and to disable this light that was annoying him from across the room. He's been known to get out of his cage and then get back in and cause some blackouts just by getting out and squirting some water. Like, Otto is an octopus. He knows that. Like, I feel like that this octopus has a level of self-awareness that some even high public figures don't have, where he knows he's an octopus and he knows his limitations. He knows that he can't, you know, jump out and, you know, kill his captors. He would die too, and I don't think he's willing to make that sacrifice. However, he is willing to cause some electric disruptions and just mess around with the people in his tank so maybe he can get moved to a nicer, bigger one. If you'd like to look up the story, it's posted in our Facebook page. And if you want to check out the Facebook page, it's facebook.com/OTBP20XX. If you like to get linked there, you can check me out on Twitter or Instagram, and they will all link to the Facebook page or the Mixcloud, which will also link to where the stories will be. So moving on to some of the less popular opinions that I have this week. This week we're going to start off a little bit different. We're going to start off with these stories before we get into like the normal depressing or funny, depending on the perspective that you're looking at it from. We're starting off with this weekend. This past weekend was the Golden Globes. And I don't typically watch award shows, not because I have anything against award shows. I just think that you can look up the winners afterwards. And if you are particularly, if you believe that the people who vote for these award shows have the same taste as you and enjoy the same types of films or music or soundtracks or whatever have you, you have the ability to check out the actual movie from seeing the nominations, and you can make up your own mind about what do you like and what do you think should have won, who's the best director, who's the best actor. But I do see where it could give you a good like foundation to look for what you might like, what you might think is critically acclaimed. But this year's Golden Globes really had a different, I would say not the awards show particularly had a different, I wouldn't say agenda either, but message. This award show was heavily rooted in just what has been going on for the past year. So last year in February, what really started was the Women's March. What really was the catalyst for what has been going on for the last year was the Women's March, where after President Trump was elected, women began really finding themselves empowered, really finding their power and strength in numbers, and the support needed to continue to really not start, but I guess start being heard and start being taken serious. These allegations around sexual assault, you know, a lot of education has come from that, and a lot of people have been exposed for the types of things that they have basically been doing throughout their entire careers. And we hear a lot of the stories that a lot of women have had to go through, and it really has resonated throughout all facets of entertainment. You know, we really haven't seen like the Me Too campaign catch on in the private in the private, I guess, more corporate structures. But in entertainment, we see it, and it's very visible. We see a lot of famous comedians, a lot of famous artists, a lot of famous even people behind the camera, directors, producers. I wouldn't say they've been taken down, because they really took themselves down by committing sexual assaults. Like, they didn't have to do that. And they are experiencing the consequences while albeit late. They are experiencing some of the consequences for their actions, rightfully so. And so what we saw was an Oprah speech, which really went to address not only the Me Too movement, but just about oppression in general, which made the speculation for potentially Oprah running for president in 2020. Now, this is a conversation that we had, not with the entire Crimes and Treasons crew, but with just with a few of the members in particular, talking about the viability of Oprah being president. And I don't want Oprah being president. I don't even want to think about Oprah becoming president. I don't like the idea of celebrity presidents, and I particularly didn't like her speech. Now, I didn't like her speech. I thought her speech was okay. I thought her speech was everything I thought an Oprah Winfrey speech should be. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, she's been on TV for decades. She's the most famous person on TV. I think you'd say she's more famous than Donald Trump. Everybody knows Oprah. Everybody loves Oprah. People get on Oprah's show and they spill all of their business, all of their family secrets, everything. She's made people famous. She's carried networks. So I would expect Oprah, one, to know all the right things to say, and two, to say it eloquently and professionally and to sound presidential, because she's Oprah Winfrey. But when listening to her speech, I couldn't help, particularly the line that struck me was when she talked about how speaking your truth is the most powerful tool that we have. And I think that looking at it in that way is so short-sighted. And that is really the line that really got, it made all the headlines. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool. Speaking your truth. And I feel like that's not going far enough. What we have seen is that speaking your truth doesn't work. Because there have been decades and decades of women talking about the types of things that have been going on in Hollywood, the types of things that are going on in everyday life, in sexual assault, everyday life. Women have been speaking their truth for decades, and that didn't start. That didn't start the women's movement. It didn't start anything. Like what we have seen is that action is the most powerful tool, and threats, and getting things done. Like that's the way that history work, speaking your truth. That there's so many people who could give a damn about your truth and, you know, how you feel and your feelings. That it doesn't work like that. So the speech didn't particularly move me. I thought it was interesting when she talked about time. It's basically time up for sexual assaulters and people who disrespect women in that way. And I think the time should be up. Time should have been up. Time should be up on all forms of oppression. Time way up. I say we're way overdue for a massive correction, because people have been held down and oppressed for a long, long time. And you even see some interesting things, like Ivanka Trump retweet Oprah saying time's up. And I don't know if Ivanka Trump knows, or if she's trolling us, but her father, President Donald Trump, has been accused by more than a dozen women of being sexual assault. He's admitted to kissing women unwarranted. He's admitted to just touching women without them asking. And he's an old man who used to run a beauty pageant. I mean, I don't want to assume about old men who run beauty pageants, but I feel like there are so many other professions where we assume that they are acting unscrupulously. An old, rich man who has admitted to sexual assault. He's admitted to, he hasn't admitted to it, but in the book, Fire and Fury, which we'll get to later, came out and talked about how he tries to set up his friends so that he can talk to their wives, and it's just weird stuff. That guy runs beauty pageants, so I can only assume that he's done a lot more things than we have heard already. But back to Oprah's speech. I think that Oprah is doing fine in the lane that she's in. She's a billionaire who makes lots of who has the ability to use her influence and her capital to make lots of sweeping changes in the United States. And I don't think that she needs to be president. And I don't think that her speech was so profound and to go into like the top speeches I've ever heard. If you disagree, you can call in at 604-822-2487 and tell me why I'm wrong and tell me why you think, one, Oprah should be president, or why you think her speech was so great. When we get back, we are going to be talking a little bit about another giant pop culture figure and the effect that I think that they are going to have on our future. Stay tuned while you hear from some of our sponsors.
Dignity,
respect,
beauty,
self-worth,
safety,
confidence,
choice,
hope.
The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day of Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help.
Beauty Night, because dignity is beautiful. I think I was blind before I met you.
Hey, it's Cynthia from The Bike Kitchen. We moved, but we are still nearby. The Bike Kitchen is now located on East Mall in the trailer between Irving, Cape Barber, and Brock Hall. Come down and check out our selection of used bikes, work on your bike with our tools, or get a tune-up by one of our pro mechanics. We have a 1 or 2 day turnaround on all tune-ups. Check out our website, thebikekitchen.com, for more information about our services and prices.
Told I heard all that glitters, not gold. We made a plan for the overthrow, and it up in line for the bow and arrow. We caught the flame, but the flame caught on. You outrun me, we get stung on. Handheld screens, mouthpiece undone. Got your next trick on the tip of your thumb. Got your next trick on the tip of your thumb. Guide me on the tip of your thumb. We spread the word, but the word had changed. Our phrase started to pixelate. And she told the boy, but the boy won't say. Holding on to his words in a tactile way. TV shit. We call the
the flame, but the flame caught on you. Outrun me, we get stung on handheld screens, mouthpiece undone. Got your next trick on the tip of your thumb. Got your next trick on the tip of your thumb.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you want to call in and tell me why you think that Oprah would be a good presidential candidate, or if you disagree. However, like the people who I don't think agree that Oprah would be a good presidential candidate, like I don't, you know, like, I don't want to agree with those people because, you know, sometimes when you disagree with something for the right reasons, it kind of aligns you with people who disagree with that same thing for the wrong reasons. And you never really want to be on the same side with those people. And if you can imagine the types of people who wouldn't want Oprah to be president and the people who also didn't like Oprah's speech, like, is that a hill I'm willing to die on? Absolutely not. Because if people started to have those types of conversations with me and I realized that, oh shit, that's not who I want to be on the same team with, I'll switch teams. If you know me and you know my sports fandom, you know that I'll switch teams all the time. It's nothing to me. Like, I used to root for the Cowboys. Now I don't anymore. And it's not because the Cowboys weren't good. The Cowboys haven't won Super Bowl since I was, you know, in the single digits. They haven't even, they barely been to the playoffs since I was in the single digits. I just decided to give up on them. And then I liked the Ravens. And then, you know, then the Ravens didn't want to sign Colin Kaepernick. And I was like, to hell with them too. I guess it really started when they extended Joe Flacco to that long contract, you know. But anyways, I think that sometimes it's better to just not be a fan of people. But when you're not a fan, sometimes you still end up on the team and you do never want to be on the same team as some of these people. So getting back into it, I said we're going to be talking about another public figure. However, I have another potentially unpopular opinion. Not potentially, it is unpopular. Like I've already had some heated discussions about this one, not only with friends, but with family members as well. I don't know if you are on social media and that is something that you like to do, and let's say you go on it every day, you would have seen in the past, I would say 48, 72 hours, a big boycott of H&M. And maybe you were wondering why, maybe you know, but H&M on Tuesday, I'm not sure where the advertisement even took place. I don't know if it was a print ad or if it was online, if it was even in this country, because some of the times we see lots of advertisements from other countries, and those are the types of things that spark outrage. But this one showed a little black boy in a hoodie that said "coolest monkey in the jungle." Now, you don't have to listen to the show every week to know that I'm not cool with people being called a monkey. Like, even here in Vancouver, but not just here in Vancouver, I've lived in lots of different places and I've traveled to different places where I've been both embraced as a black person and felt the stench. I don't know if you can feel the stench, but you can definitely feel the electricity of places where you are not welcome just by your hue, just by what you look like. And they don't ever have to call you monkey to feel like that. They don't have to say anything. Particularly, they don't even have to. People can look at you in a certain way, and you can just tell that this is not where I'm supposed to be. And so, with seeing that advertisement, that is what the people who signed off on that advertisement should have said. Listen, this is not going to go over well. This is going to spark a lot of outrage at H&M. H&M, a company, one that employs child workers in its factories all over the world, but also a company that likes to champion itself as having a eco-sustainable line. Like, H&M tries to do everything, and while trying to do everything, they do lots of nothing. I think that these like those eco-sustainable campaigns are full of shit, and so are the apologies that these companies make after they make such an egregious error, like put a black kid in a monkey. I mean, in a hoodie that would insinuate he's a monkey on the internet. And I feel that a lot of people on social media, including some celebrities like LeBron James. And even The Weeknd dropped out of his sponsorship from H&M. So it has gone up to the highest of the high in the entertainment industry, which has really affected H&M. But there's really two things that I wouldn't say like around the topic. There's two things that I have taken issue or notice of when it comes to this H&M story. One of those things being that H&M has generated a ton of free publicity from having this controversial image circulated online. And while there are a lot of people who won't buy H&M because of this. They look, or there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who actually don't give a damn whether they call black people monkeys or not, who saw an opportunity. They saw that basically black people and people angry at black people, I'm not angry at black people, but angry with black people, affecting H&M sales. And H&M had an 80% off sale the next day. And you know what that did? All the people who don't care about black people being called monkeys, or maybe who call black people monkeys in their own house, went to H&M and purchased some clothes. And so you purchase clothes when they might not have done so in the first place. And so when we get, we as a people, as a collective, you know, get outraged at these types of things, particularly the type of thing that is so easy to get upset about, we like to talk about it and talk about how far we're going to go to boycott H&M and what we're going to do. And really, none of that stuff affects my second point, which is H&M putting coolest monkey on the planet sweatshirt and selling it and putting it on a black kid and putting it on the internet, even getting all of the images with all the little black kids not in monkey sweatshirts. I mean, this happened a few years ago with Walmart when they had the, I think it was like a onesie or like a kid backpack or a kid t-shirt, and they had the monkey, they had put the black kid with the monkey, and we got upset about that. But yet, people continue to still shop at Walmart. But what it doesn't do, it doesn't get people to stop thinking about black people as animals. It doesn't get people to stop thinking that it's okay to shoot black people in the street and treat people like animals and put them in particularly housing or prisons like animals. And that's really what we want to stop. And so I think it goes back to the Oprah speech for talking about speaking the truth is the most powerful tool we have. And we feel, and that's what a lot of people feel. Like, I think that Oprah Winfrey, I don't think that she feels that, because she's a billionaire and she knows what the hell is going on. She knows how this type of stuff works. But for the average person, speaking your truth and telling how you feel feels like it should carry weight. And it feels that, like, being upset about this sweatshirt should matter to people. But the people who are going to think that black people are monkeys and going to think that it's okay to talk about black people like animals and talk about and treat us as such, don't give a damn about whether H&M puts a sweatshirt on a black kid or not. And I think that while the energy is used effectively during the first, you know, few hours and a few days around these types of transgressions, it's not sustained enough to where people are just fed up and take it further than H&M, because there are lots of other businesses that we should probably not be spending money if we are trying to win through consumer capitalism. And I don't think that that's the way to win. However, it's the world we live in, and so you have to understand, like, the times and what we do. But even with knowing the types of ways that these advertisers see black people and treat black people, people will still continue to buy. And we've just seen that with the release of Coachella tickets and what we know about the owner of Coachella, how he contributes to anti-LGBTQ efforts. He donates millions of dollars to the Trump campaign, millions of dollars to other conservative party members. And the people who go to Coachella, like, Coachella has Cardi B on it, has Migos and Beyonce and Eminem. It's got Eminem headlining Coachella on day three, a festival owned by someone who donates to Trump. After, like, what type of backwards shit is that? Like, think about it. We believe that we can win with consumer capitalism. So you want to give Eminem your money because you're like, Eminem stands for what I stand for. I saw his video where he made that freestyle against Trump, and I liked it so much that I ignored how shitty his album was. And I wanted to see him live at Coachella. And so you pay your $400 or $500 for a ticket and 5, 6, 8, 10, 15 of the dollars goes to Eminem, but the other $450 of that goes to the Coachella man. And the Coachella man is putting that money right in Donald Trump's pocket. So, like, how can you think that you can win through consumerism? And getting so mad about this H&M, it's so easy. It's easy. It's I went to a poetry slam on Monday where one of the poetry slammers, you could tell she was really she gave it everything she had, and it really came from her heart. You could tell that this she really felt it, and I felt sorry because she ended her poem with "and they called me a nigger," and I felt, and everybody in the room clapped. I mean, it's East Van on Commercial Drive, and you're giving you're in a poetry slam to an audience full of progressive white people, and it's easy to clap and easy to show that, like, hey, I'm not a racist, and we don't stand for that. You know, when somebody calls a black person a monkey or when somebody calls a black person a nigger, like, it's easy to stand up and say, hey, that isn't right. But where are we standing, you know, when they are disenfranchising voters and closing precincts and closing Department of Motor Vehicles so people can't get IDs so that they can vote? Like North Carolina 2 weeks ago, it just came out that they're voting in the state is worse than in third world countries. It's totalitarian. They said it's unconstitutional, but yet, you know, we don't get the same type of fervor. We don't get the same type of attention, and it's not as sexy to be upset about those types of things. So while I think that it's okay and it's okay to be mad and to take action against H&M, but I always think that these things have to go a little deeper. Like, it's okay to be mad about sexual assault and racism and these types of things, but you gotta be deeper, and you have to. And if you're gonna use your money as a way to democratize these feelings, then you can't just use your money one time. You have to be conscious about it, where you use it all of the time. Now, there are running out of time. There's so many things we didn't get to talk about. However, let's stay in the same vein in Silicon Valley. Stay in the Bay. So, stay in California. You know, so we know that Coachella is in California, and we know the types of people who go to Coachella. But those types of people who go to Coachella are also doing something else stupid. Like, I feel that if you have the type of money to go to Coachella and you have all this extra income, some of it should be taken away from you, because there is a company called Juicero, which is a raw water startup in Silicon Valley, which sells $40 gallon jugs of quote unquote raw water to these tech idiots. Like, they told me to make it in tech, you had to be super smart. And what I continuously see is that these people are some of the dumbest money wasting people ever. Like, if you have enough money to spend $40 on a gallon of jug of water and you haven't sent any money to Flint, Michigan, or you haven't sent money to any of the number of other cities, or you haven't put that money back into the collective, like, what are you keeping your money from the tax man for if you are going to waste it on $40 jug of water? It doesn't make any sense. There's lots of people like me. I mean, there's lots of people who could use that type of money, but and use it more wisely than spend it on 40 jug of water. And what we have seen is that people are getting sick from it, because you can't just drink raw, quote unquote, raw water and not know where it's coming from. That's silly. But there is a new show that comes on smack at 8 o'clock. So we do this every week, 7, 8, Thursdays, here off the beaten path. If you like my voice and you like listening to me speak and you like to hear me DJ, you can listen to me on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 at Crimes and Treasons. Thank you. Until next week, I'm out.
Today. Isaac UBC is the world's largest student-run organization that specializes in helping you get an internship or volunteering opportunity abroad.
With thousands of opportunities.